All in. That's what the Dallas Cowboys' Jerry Jones said before this season of free agency was starting. I believe the Dallas Cowboys are going to be all in. That's probably exactly how he sounded, too. I'm pretty spot on with my impressions. You guys want to hear you want to hear Patrick Mahomes? You ready?
Do it.
We just won the Super Bowl. Wow. No, Jerry Jones said the Dallas Cowboys are all in. Monica and I are sharing our screen right now, or my screen, so she can see all the free agent signings. So far, Dallas has been the only team that I've literally had no trouble fitting on one part of my screen. Even like going back up to the Steelers and anybody else, like the Chargers, for example, I can do it, but it almost takes up the whole screen. And the Chargers haven't signed a whole lot of people. Dallas has signed three people.
It's not even a half of the screen.
No. Linebacker Eric Kendricks, cornerback Jordan Lewis, and long snapper Trent Sieg. And I love the Trent Sieg signing the most because when they did it, the Dallas Cowboys have said, we have signed long snapper Trent Sieg to a free agent contract extension. And all the Cowboys fans are like, seriously? That's the first move you're going to announce? It's a bad time to be a Cowboys fan. I'm going to say leave it. Monica, what are your thoughts?
All in must mean something different to Jerry Jones than it does to me, because that doesn't look all in to me.
If they win the Super Bowl, though, can you imagine, like, how annoyed we're going to be?
Oh, I'm going to be ticked, yeah.
Meanwhile, the New York Giants, you cannot fit all that they've done on one page. They signed quarterback Drew Lock, running back Devin Singletary, wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie, offensive tackle Jermaine Eluemunor, offensive guard Joe Runyon. They traded for Brian Burns. That's got to be the biggest move that they've made, as well as signing Jalen Mills. I'm going to say leave it. I like the Brian Burns acquisition, but I'm just not sure that it made the most sense for the Giants to be the one to go get him. They had the money. They had the ability. But if it doesn't work out, he's probably gone in a couple of years. So I don't know. I'll say leave it. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I just hate it.
Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about Kenny Pickett being acquired in a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as well as a fourth-round pick, number 120 overall. They also signed running back Saquon Barkley, wide receiver Devontae Parker, tight end Albert Wigwam, offensive guard Landon Dickerson, offensive guard Matt Hennessy, edge Brandon Graham, edge Bryce Huff, linebacker Zach Bond, linebacker Julian Okwara, linebacker Devin White, cornerback C.J. Gardner-Johnson comes back, you know, after being gone, and kicker Jake Elliott, punter Braden Mann, and long snapper Rick Lovato. I'm going to say love it because I do love the Devin White signing and getting, you know, Landon Dickerson back, but it's a lowercase love. It's not like a, wow, this team is destined to win the Super Bowl.
No,
because I don't think that they are, but it's a lowercase love. It's better than anything we've talked about so far in this division. You have any thoughts on the Eagles, Monica?
The way that the Zach Bond, Devin White, and CJ Gardner-Johnson, the way that those three go is going to be very, very important.
Yeah. The Washington Commanders have been busy. Quarterback Marcus Mariota.
I feel like.
Yeah, they had the most cap space outside of the Patriots. Quarterback Marcus Mariota, running back Austin Eckler, who said he's willing to share carries and knows that that's what's going to be happening with Brian Robinson. So I'm excited about that, having Brian Robinson on my fantasy team. Wide receiver Jamison Crowder, tight end Zach Ertz, Nick Algoretti, Tyler Biadasz, edge Dorrance Armstrong, edge Cleveland Farrell, edge Dante Fowler Jr., edge F.A. Obada, linebacker Frankie Louvu, linebacker Bobby Wagner, cornerback Michael Davis, safety Jeremy Chinn, kicker Brandon McManus, long snapper Tyler Ott. The only thing that concerns me are these two signings right here. I don't know. I know the Bobby Wagner one. Bobby's going to start. He's not going somewhere that's not giving him a chance to be the starting linebacker. But then you also gave starting linebacker money to Frankie Louvu.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Jameen Davis going in this, you think?
Back to Kentucky.
It seems like he might be on the outs here, or maybe they're going to give him a mentor role to a mentee role under Bobby Wagner, try to learn as much as he can. But the Frankie Louvu signing, you can't convince anybody that that is not a starting contract. I'm going to say love it because I think they're addressing a ton of needs all at once. Oh, yeah. And I don't have a single signing that I really hate. What are your thoughts?
I really wanted the Broncos to get Jeremy Chinn, so that one did disappoint me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do like this for them a lot.
Yeah, I really love Jeremy Chinn. He was one of my favorites coming out of college. If he could have stayed healthy, I think he'd still be in Carolina. But I digress. That was the NFC East. Let's go to the NFC West here and talk about the Arizona Cardinals. They acquired Desmond Ridder in a trade, running back DJ Dallas, wide receiver Chris Moore, offensive lineman Keith Ismail, offensive guard Tristan Colon, offensive guard Elijah Wilkinson, offensive tackle Jonah Williams, defensive tackles Justin Jones, Bilal Nichols, and Kyrus Tonga, linebackers Chris Barnes and Mack Wilson, cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting, long snapper Aaron Brewer, and punter Blake Gillikin. I don't know. It's okay.
The only thing that I really have to say about this is you don't normally see a lot of player-for-player deals.
No.
So that was kind of interesting, I guess.
I still don't know what to say. It says what the Cardinals feel Rondale Moore is worth. And I'll say this. Desmond Ridder to the Falcons was not a good fit. But Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals could be a sneaky fit. I'd be curious to see. Because sometimes that fresh start can help. I'm not saying he's going to be a world beater and an all-American starter, but I think it'll be interesting to see. Now, here's something, though. This seems like starter money for DJ Dallas, potentially. When it's a three-year contract, at least a spellback that's going to be used a lot.
And that kind of seems like a hot mess to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're hedging their bets. They might draft a running back in this draft, but right now they don't know that they're going to be able to get one. I'm going to say lowercase, leave it. I'm just meh about it. I don't really love any of the things they've done. The Los Angeles Rams, Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback, wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, tight end Colby Parkinson, offensive guards Kevin Dotson and Jonah Jackson, cornerback Darius Williams, safety Cameron Curl. That is a massive signing to get Cameron Curl. He's really good. I was hoping the Steelers would somehow find a way to get him. I'm okay with DeShone Elliott, but, man, I would really love to have had Cameron Curl. Monica, what are your thoughts, if any, on the Los Angeles Rams?
Okay, so I have circled Jimmy G in my notes because I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
That confused me. He's suspended for PEDs, right?
If I heard correctly, yes.
So how many games is he suspended for? You have Matthew Stafford. It's a one-year deal. What are they doing? I don't understand. Because Jimmy G's getting on up there. Matthew Stafford is getting on up there. Jimmy G's going to be ineligible for however many games. I don't even remember. What is the point? And you sign him to a one-year deal, so it's not like two games. So Jimmy G's going to be out for two games. And you're signing him to a one-year deal, so it's not like you're saying Stafford's going to retire at the end of the season and we want Jimmy G to come in and take over. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all.
So I think this is one of those things where you sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a one-year deal. You see what happens. If everything had worked out for the Rams, Baker Mayfield would still be in LA. I think that was their hope. I think they're looking at Jimmy G as an opportunity to say, hey, maybe he's our guy after Matthew Stafford, but probably not. Sign him to a one-year deal. If Stafford wants to play another year and Jimmy G doesn't want to sign another contract, then let him go. You haven't really lost anything, and he's a better backup than they had. Mm-hmm. And apparently Stetson Bennett is dealing with some personal matters that could very likely keep him out of the NFL for the rest of his career. I don't know. I think that this is a pure backup signing. I'll say leave it. They didn't do anything incredibly attractive. I love Cameron Curl, but it's not enough in a division where you're basically expected to compete with San Francisco, and you didn't get incredibly better. Speaking of San Francisco, they signed quarterback Brandon Allen, wide receiver Chris Conley, offensive lineman John Feliciano, offensive tackle Colton McKivitz, edge players Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive tackles and defensive linemen Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, and Kevin Givens, linebackers Devondre Campbell. Love that signing. It's a perfect fit for Dre Greenlaw's role. If he doesn't get to stay and play past this year, it's a good one-year signing for Devondre Campbell and the Niners. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, also signed with them as a linebacker. And then cornerback Isaac Yiadom and special teamer George Odom re-signed. I'll say love it simply because I think they went out and just reloaded defensively. There's not a whole lot that they need to do offensively. There's not a whole lot they really can do right now offensively. But defensively, they went out and they reloaded what they needed to do to be competitive this year. Monica, do you have any thoughts, if anything, about the San Francisco 49ers free agency moves?
I think my co-host Cooper and I both really like the Leonard Floyd signing.
Yeah. Seattle Seahawks. They signed via a trade, I should say. They traded for quarterback Sam Howell. Now, here's something interesting. Notice the compensation given up. They acquire Sam Howell as well as a 2024 fourth and sixth round pick, 102 and 179 respectively. But listen to what they gave up. 2024 third and 2024 fifth round picks, number 78 and 152 overall. That's an interesting amount there at the third round to give up for a guy that I believe led the NFL last year in interceptions. I think they're hoping Sam Howell can be their starter when Geno is not able to go. But even if this is just a pure backup deal, think about what the NFL is saying now to us as listeners and watchers. We think backup quarterbacks are worth third-round picks. And yet Justin Fields was a sixth-round pick. Kind of interesting. They also signed tight end Farrell Brown, Noah Fant re-signed with them as a tight end as well. George Fant, offensive tackle, Nick Harris, defensive end Leonard Williams re-signed. Linebackers Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dodson. Those are good signings. And it plugs in what they were doing. It gives them a chance. But I believe Jerome Baker is, of course, just a one-year deal. Look up what Tyrell Dodson, look up his contract if you don't mind. They also signed cornerback Artie Burns to another contract, and Rayshon Jenkins signed a free agent deal. I'll say that I kind of love what they've done if they draft well. Have you found what they signed him to?
Tyrell Dodson is a one-year, $4.2 million deal.
Yeah, so it's low risk, high reward. They're not going to give him a multi-year contract, but I think both of these linebackers are capable of filling the Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks role, and they've given up $11 million total to do it. That's not bad. So I'll say I love it. Monica, what are your thoughts?
I don't really have anything to add on that.
Okay. NFC South, we're going to probably roll through these now. Quarterback Kirk Cousins, wide receiver Ray-Ray McCloud to the Falcons, Kadarrell Hodge and Darnell Mooney, as well as Rondale Moore, tight end Charlie Warner, offensive tackle Storm Norton, Edge, Kentavious Street, and long snapper Liam McCullough. Love it or leave it, Monica?
Love it because Kirk Cousins.
I agree. Carolina Panthers, offensive guard Robert Hunt, offensive guard Damian Lewis, wide receiver Deontay Johnson, defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson, edge player Kalavon Kaysen, edge player DJ Wonnum, linebacker Josie Jewell, RIP to your team, sorry about that, cornerback Troy Hill, cornerback Dane Jackson, safety Jordan Fuller, and long snapper J.J. Jansen. Low-key, I love it. I think they're doing the best they can to try to protect Bryce Young with the offensive guard signings. Their offensive line was terrible. They've done what they can to fix that. I think Deontay Johnson is a decent pickup for them. I don't think he's going to be a superstar wide receiver, but he's better than what they've had. And right. If you told me you were going to lose DJ Moore this time a year ago, but you would be able to add Deontay Johnson back, I'd say, well, they're obviously not the same player, but you didn't go completely down and in a, you know, horrible way. You still have a good player. So I'm going to say love it. Monica, what do you say?
This defense is going to be very good, but I don't think they improved enough on the offense.
They have the draft to do that in part, but not a whole lot of picks because of what they did to go get Bryce Young. The peril of that continues, and it's why you're dumpster diving for some of the players that they're picking up. The New Orleans Saints have signed quarterback Nathan Peterman, wide receiver Cedric Wilson.
Pause. How can Nathan Peterman still be getting jobs in the NFL? I could not let that one slide. I couldn't let that one slide.
He can't slide either, though, so that, you know, it tracks. wide receiver Cedric Wilson, linebacker DeMario Davis, and linebacker Willie Gay Jr., and Tyrann Mathieu. Love it or leave it? Oh, sorry. Wait a minute. They also signed Chase Young today.
Yes.
This is Monday night when we're recording this, but they signed Chase Young to a fully guaranteed $13 million. I don't know how they're doing it, but love it or leave it.
I don't know where they're getting this money.
They have to be.
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand what they're doing.
I'll say leave it just because they're so limited right now. The draft will have to sell it to me. Tampa Bay Buccaneers re-signed Baker Mayfield and John Wolford, as well as Chase Edmonds and Mike Evans and Justin School and Greg Gaines, Levante David, and they also re-signed Chase McLaughlin. They tagged Antoine Winfield. They signed Jordan Whitehead, safety, cornerback Bryce Hall. They signed Sua Opeta. They signed Ben Bredesen. And end of list. Love it or leave it. I'm going to say love it because I think it's good that they were able to sign back Baker and Mike Evans. They are going to continue to keep Antoine Winfield. And Jordan Whitehead's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. I think they can stay pretty competitive in that division.
All right, NFC North. Chicago Bears, quarterback Brett Rippon, running back DeAndre Swift, wide receiver Keenan Allen, wide receiver Dante Pettis, center Coleman Shelton, offensive lineman Ryan Bates, offensive lineman Jake Curran, offensive lineman Matt Pryor, tight end Gerald Everett, defensive end Jake Martin, linebacker, amen, no, we didn't just pray, that's his first name, amen, Ogbong Bemiga. I'm so sorry if I said that wrong. That is the coolest name, though. I really hope he plays because can you just imagine after every tackle, amen, it'd be amazing. Cornerback Jalen Johnson signed a 4-year extension. Safety Kevin Byard, safety Jonathan Owens, and long snapper Patrick Scales. I love it just because of Amen's name. Monica, your thoughts?
They're really trying to compete with the Lions, and I think they're getting the players to do it.
Speaking of the Lions, they signed Donovan Peoples-Jones, Graham Glasgow, offensive tackle Dan Skipper, edge player Marcus Davenport, defensive lineman DJ Reader, linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maben. They traded for Carlton Davis, the corner from the Buccaneers. They also signed Emmanuel Mosley to an extension. a corner there. Amik Robertson signed a 2-year deal. Corner, kicker Michael Badgley, and long snapper Scott Daly. Monica, love it or leave it?
I love it, especially in light of what they're supposedly going to do tomorrow, and that's Kevin Zietler. Sign him. I heard he's going to Detroit tomorrow for his physical.
Okay. Which, if that holds true, he will have already signed by the time this episode airs. So you guys might have just heard a pre-prediction. Green Bay Packers, they re-signed A.J. Dillon. Also signed Josh Jacobs, running backs there, tight end Tyler Davis, cornerback Corey Ballantyne, cornerback slash returner Keyshawn Nixon, and safety Xavier McKinney. I'm going to say love it. I think they're doing what they can to help Jordan Love, both defensively bringing in Xavier McKinney and offensively getting Josh Jacobs, who's more explosive and younger, and you still keep A.J. Dillon. Monica, your thoughts?
I was going to go with leave it because I don't think Josh Jacobs was worth A, the price tag, and B, they lost Aaron Jones. And not only did they lose him, they lost him to a division rival.
Yeah. Minnesota Vikings, last team. Quarterback, Sam Darnold. Running back, Aaron Jones. Wide receiver, Brandon Powell. Wide receiver, Trent Sherfield. Tight end, Johnny Munt. Offensive tackle, David Questenberry. Offensive guard, Dan Feeney. Edge, Jonathan Greenard. Edge, Andrew Van Ginkle. Defensive tackle, Jerry Tillery. Defensive lineman, Jonathan Bullard. Linebacker, Blake Cashman. And kicker, John Parker Romo. Monica, love it or leave it? I'm going to low-key say love it. I think they've done a lot to help, and they've put themselves in a position where their offense can still thrive if some things go their way. And if you'll stick around at the moment, I'll tell you why I think it can thrive. Go ahead.
I think Cooper is in agreement with me here. I want to split it, and I'm going to say I leave it for the offense, love it for the defense.
Okay. Cooper, you agree with that?
Cooper agrees. Yeah.
Yep. Skip Barkless over there is agreeing consistently.
Yes.
So, Monica, that's the NFC, as well as yesterday we covered the AFC. Let me give you the prospects that are on the rise. I only have two right now. We'll save the best for last.
Okay.
It is apparently the case that the Minnesota Vikings are meeting with J.J. McCarthy. And they are having a pre-draft visit with J.J. McCarthy sometime this week. And if that goes well, it appears that they will be in the running to maybe try to position themselves to trade up with number 4, Arizona, or number 5, the Chargers, and be able to select J.J. McCarthy. He's a prospect that's been continuously on the rise. We went from talking about him as a potential second-round pick to now top 5. That's a pretty meteoric rise. Like, that's incredible. That's the first one, Monica. What are your thoughts on J.J. McCarthy potentially becoming a Minnesota Viking?
I don't see the hype.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to eat my words on that, but I don't get the hype. I'm ready. I know he's going to make me regret saying it, but right now I just don't see it.
He's not this player, okay? So just understand that I know that. He is not this player. However, I will say, so many people did not see the hype with Tom Brady either.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons why we're getting so much hype for J.J. McCarthy is he is at a position where basically he's benefiting off of what Brady accomplished. And that's not a bad thing, but it's just the case. But now, I want to direct your attention to something that is just so stinking cool. You sent me this today.
I did.
And I'm going to give you the opportunity to talk about it because I feel like on a show like this, you have to try to hype up the knowledge that you have and you try to talk about yourself, and I hate doing that. So I'd rather you talk about it, and then I'll just, I have the receipts ready to show you and to talk about. So I'm going to pull up those receipts and bring them over here, and I'll share my screen in just a second. Bear with me, Monica, because this is too big to kind of overlook, because since February 19th, I've been doing this, okay?
So today I was scrolling on Twitter and I saw a Daniel Jeremiah post. And if you listen to this, you know that Michael has a lot of respect for Daniel Jeremiah. And Daniel Jeremiah is actually really, really good at this. And, he's one of the best guys, you know, with his mock drafts and everything. So I saw a Daniel Jeremiah post and I immediately sent it to Michael because it said, don't be surprised if Malik Nabers is the first wide receiver off the board. Now, don't get me wrong, Rome Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. are really good talents. But don't be surprised if Malik Nabers is the first one off the board. And Michael, I'm pretty sure in every mock draft we've done, Malik Nabers has gone before Rome Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr.
And why else should that matter to people that don't know a whole lot about me? If you've discovered this somehow for the first time, why should it matter that I'm putting an Ohio State player below an LSU player?
Because Michael has a soft spot for Ohio State players.
I don't know if you can see behind me, Monica, but I finally hung my Dwayne Haskins picture. Nice. And I have an Ohio State helmet over there. Yeah, for real. I have an Ohio State helmet over there on my bookshelf, and I have a lot of love for the fact that Justin Fields is a Steeler now because he was also an Ohio State quarterback. I've been saying for months now, both publicly a month and privately, I've been looking at Malik Nabers because I don't think people realize I do watch film on almost every one of these first round players that we talk about that are skill position, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And Nabers has the numbers. And like Daniel Jeremiah says, there's just this different element that he seems to bring to teams. And when you're looking for something explosive, that's what you're looking for. And I'm going to go on record here. My first mock draft, Malik Nabers before Marvin Harrison at number 7. My second mock draft, Malik Nabers before Marvin Harrison at 6. Marvin Harrison goes to the Texans. Well, I'd done a trade. But at 4, I have Malik Nabers. I've had Malik Nabers at number 4 in every draft I've published so far. And you'll have to tune in on Friday to see if I do it again for this upcoming draft and see who I have going first. Is it Malik Nabers? Is it Marvin Harrison Jr.? Did I switch? And I just want people to kind of know the fact that Daniel Jeremiah, a month and a week from the draft, is starting to say this stuff should really resonate with us that it seems possible and plausible that Malik Nabers could be the first wide receiver taken off the board. And if he is, I will never let any of y'all live it down. I will champion that till the day that I die.
And I will say, you know, a lot of the mock drafts, I don't know if I saved it today. There was one that I was looking at, and it was one of the most idiotic things I have ever seen. And a lot of people post mock drafts just because it's fun. But there's no element of reality to it.
Mm-hmm.
The mock drafts that you were doing have an element of reality. And I think Daniel Jeremiah pointing that out today should be a loud signal,
yeah,
that this is not a game. Like, we're not doing this to play around.
No, I'm not doing this for fun. And I mean, sure, it's fun. It is fun. I'm not doing it because I think it's fun to just kind of mess around and do this kind of stuff. No. I put a lot of thought into it.
It shows how serious you take this. And I wish we had, you know, a greater listener base to understand, like, this is legit.
Yeah. I do appreciate, you know, that being said. I did do a mock draft that I sent to you, and we talked about it, and you were like, what was wrong with you? Because that is nowhere near what you've been doing. I retracted that one, or redacted it, I guess. Not that I thought it was completely terrible, but I looked at it again, and I realized I did that one at like 10 o'clock at night. I had preached all day. I probably shouldn't have been doing a mock draft at that point. In that mock draft, I did not have Malik Nabers going before Harrison or Odunze. So
I will say that one should never see the light of day. Just saying.
Maybe if enough people ask us about it at goatversusgoat@gmail.com, GOATVSGOTE@gmail.com, I will send you the mock draft that I did that should not see the light of day. Monica, that's all we have for this particular episode. My two rising prospects are J.J. McCarthy and Malik Nabers. And I am telling you right now, if Malik Nabers goes before Marvin Harrison, I will be the most obnoxious person about it.
Right, and Lisa.
I think that's fair. So, until tomorrow, when we do my top 10 wide receivers in the NFL, take care.